So this morning, my
text verse is going to be Mark, the 13th chapter, and we're going to start with this 7th verse. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For the nation, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today. And Lord, we're so thankful for this opportunity to come and to sing praises and to worship you. And Lord, just ask that as we study your word and we look at the fact that you are waiting to send your son, Lord, to gather together all of your children, Lord, just ask that we will take it to heart and prepare our hearts. And if there be any here that do not know you, Lord, that they'll accept you as their Savior. And Lord, that we as your children of God, that we will be found watching and waiting and obedient at your second coming. Lord, we're just thankful for all you've done for us. Forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk about the idea of be not troubled. And that's not always an easy thing. We live in very, very troubled, times. You know, I don't know who said, but someone said, wisdom is not losing your head or keeping your cool when everybody else is losing theirs, right? That's not exactly the way it was worded. But we live in times, if you've watched the news, there's all kinds of things going on. Wars in the Middle East and all kinds of stuff, hurricanes and all kinds of things that are going on. We're going to talk a little bit about Mark the 13th chapter, and this chapter is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Mark says there, and then shall you see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. The Old Testament is the culmination of Jesus Christ's first coming. And if the Old Testament is the culmination or the telling of and concludes with the idea that Jesus is coming for the first time, then clearly the New Testament is the culmination of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Revelation, the next to last verse, that's what it's about. He which testifieth these things, and this is talking about Jesus Christ, surely I come quickly. Talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Or so be it. It's going to happen. And then John adds, the author, the writer, the one who was inspired to write this book, says this through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, even so come, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but the more I watch the news, the more my refrain is, even so come, Lord Jesus. Joyce likes to watch the news. She has four or five programs she likes. I do not like to watch the news. I'm busy while she's watching her show or two that she, and once in a while I walk in and it's disturbing, depressing. There's all this stuff going on, and for her it's staying updated. There's nothing wrong or right either way. It's just all the stuff that is going on in the world. I'm so thankful with all the disasters that we've been having in our country, and even in Oregon, in Washington, here in the Pacific Northwest, we do have some terrible fires that are going on. You know, some people have lost their homes this year and years past. There's been many people have lost their homes, even in Oregon. So it's not that we aren't untouched, but I just, even so, come Lord, Lord Jesus. So in our text verse, it talks about things that are going to be happening, wars, rumors of wars. Do we have any wars, rumors of wars? I mean, it's turn on the news and something is going on. Be ye not troubled. That's in the midst of all this chaos. Don't let it disturb you. This world isn't our home. We don't have to worry about all those things. God's going to take care of us. For such things must needs be. I wish Jesus could come back without all these things, but these are necessary. These are markers for us to know that God is keeping his word. But the end shall not be yet. You know, we've had two world wars, and we've had many other big wars and a lot of little wars going on. But the end isn't yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're surely seeing this. And there shall be earthquakes in different places that never happened before. Hurricanes, all these different things. It's interesting that in dealing with hurricanes, there's category 5, right? And I don't remember if it's category 5, the winds are 180 plus, right? So there is not a category 6 yet. I believe the classification is that category 5, and again, I didn't look at this real close, but I didn't know I was going to be trying to do it from memory. I think it's 193. If it's over 193 miles an hour, it's then considered class 6. There may have been one way back, but there wasn't any class 6s up till 10 years ago. Now we've had 5 or 6 of them. So things that are happening have never happened. Now, we could say all kinds of causes. Global warming, I don't know. But this is what I do know. God said it was going to happen. I don't know. I don't think God's causing it, but he knew what was going to happen. I don't know why they're happening, but they're happening. And they point to something more than just we aren't taking care of the earth very well. It points to the fact that Jesus is coming back, is what it points to. And famines and troubles and difficulties. And these are the beginning of sorrows. And they cause economic issues and all kinds of things and worries. And we're living through that. But take heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Don't get caught up in all of this. Take heed to yourself and go back to verse 7. Be ye not troubled. These things must need. God is still in control. And then verse 10, that these things have to happen from the standpoint of a worldly issue before Jesus can come back. On a spiritual issue, it's kind of fascinating. Jesus says one of the things that is a marker for him coming back is the gospel needs to be preached and published among all nations. There are people who still need to hear the word before God will turn to Jesus and say, go get my children. And so when we talk about this verse 8, and there shall be famines and especially troubles, it's interesting, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy and telling him how to prepare as a pastor and help the church and churches that he pastors, he says, this know also. This is some important information. Now, this was some 2,000 years ago, and yet Paul is warning that you need to be careful, for in the last days, and I think it's the days that we are living in, perilous, which is kind of like the word dangerous, perilous, difficult times shall come. And yet, Jesus says, be ye not troubled. It's interesting, there's a song, and we don't have it in any of our songbooks. Joyce had it in one of her songbooks at home, and I printed the words. And the beginning of the song says this: troublesome times are here. You notice the title, and notice who wrote it. You notice the year he wrote it. Was there difficult times in 1942? Pretty difficult. In some ways, I can't say today is worse, because it was pretty bad back then, right? And you could see them talking about wars and rumors of wars and famines and all that stuff. It's the same thing we're talking about, and it's the same thing we see on the news. And it led him to write this incredible song. And boy, it's almost like it's an interpretation, a rendering, if you will, of these verses here in Mark. Troublesome times, they are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Everybody's worried about everything today and back then. Freedoms we all hold dear now is at stake. They were worried about freedom with the nations that were arising, Germany and Japan. Italy was the other one, but Japan and Germany especially. And freedoms we hold dear, we're worried about that today, aren't we, in dealing with the things we face as a nation and the elections that are before us. People are so worried that if one person gets elected, it's going to be the end of democracy, and the other people say if the other person gets elected, it's the end of democracy. God knows, my feeling is we have survived before, right? We will still survive. God is in control, not whatever president we elect. God is still in control. Whichever president we elect and the president we have today, our obligation is to pray for them. Pray for them that God will help them and to lead us as a nation. And it goes on, humbling our hearts to God. it should draw us closer to God instead of taking us farther away. Saves us from chastening rod when we humble ourselves to God. Seek the way pilgrims have trod, as we have people in the past who have served the Lord, we should continue. Christians, awake. Boy, written in 1942, it could have been written today, could it not? And then the chorus, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound, all the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. And then the second verse, I think, is as good and powerful as the first, but we are not as familiar with it. Love of so many cold has grown cold, losing their homes of gold, you know, all the disasters and stuff, even World War II. And today, this, in God's word, is told, right? Evils abound, but God is still in control. When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast. Trumpets will sound. And then we have the refrain again. And we're going to sing this song as our closing song this morning. So I'm going to move on with my sermon and talking about this idea of these troublesome times. They're here. And we're dealing with difficult times. And so how do we deal with times that are difficult? The Bible has eight things that it tells us, and there's many other biblical principles that we can apply in when things are troubled in the world, how do we not overreact? But I want to look at just eight things that the Bible talks about so that we will not have to be troubled in troublesome times. The very first one is we need to make sure that our heart is right with God. I thought it was interesting in that one verse that says so many are turning their hearts to the Lord. Where else are we going to turn, right? Jesus asked his disciples in John the 6th chapter, are you going to go away? And Peter responded, Lord, where are we going to go? I mean, you're not going to get comfort in the world. You can't put your trust in riches. You try to save for retirement and with the, 401k or stock market or whatever, that can be gone instantly, right? And so there's just, where are we going to go? How can we do that? And one of the things in difficult times, we need to make sure that our hearts are right with God. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord, Lord Almighty. And so it's really interesting that God has called us. He knew times would be difficult, even the church at Corinth. Be ye separate. Don't act, don't look like the world. And if you're here this morning and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the most important thing you can do is ask Jesus to save you. So in these difficult times, God is willing to be your Father and willing to take care of his children and look out for us and provide for us. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, the second thing I want us to talk about is we need to realize that God knows and that God cares about what happens to us. And God cares also about what happens to the ones that we love. He cares about what happens to our family. Are not, Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground. A farthing was one of the lowest value. It'd be like a penny today. Does a penny have a lot of value today? Can you buy it? Now, when I was growing up, you could buy penny candy. Can't buy penny candy now. And it's like this is, so the sparrows, where I grew up, there were sparrows everywhere. And we have birds that are plentiful here. And so they have really no value, monetary value, no real use. What do you do with a sparrow? And so they're not worth anything. At least we don't put value on them. But look at how God sees this, what we see as no value. One of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it. God knows what happens to everything, and especially us that are his children. Not only does he know, he cares. This is how well he knows us. The very hairs of our head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Be ye not troubled. Don't be overwhelmed. Ye are of more value. If God looks, knows what happens to something that we place no value on, what value has God placed upon us? We're purchased, right, with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the value. It was the most costly gift ever given to purchase us so we could have a relationship with God. You are more value. We have value in God. Yes, we're sinners. Sometimes, I've heard preachers say that we have no value. Now, we have value. God sees value in us. Now, we're sinners, and we aren't worth anything to God as we are as sinners, but he can change that, right? And he sees great value in us through Jesus Christ. And the third thing I want us to talk about is realize that the Lord Jesus personally knows what it's like to live as a human and to face difficult times, to face temptation. Satan tempted him. We won't face any temptation greater than what Satan brought upon Jesus Christ. And he was rejected. You ever felt alone? Jesus felt alone. Have you ever, how he felt, we felt. And Jesus says this. Someone says, Lord, I'd like to be your disciple. And he says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Worldly things, and if you're going to follow me, it's not about stuff, right? That's what he's saying. So if you want to be my disciple, it's not going to be about stuff. It's going to be about a relationship with God. And talking about Jesus knows what it's like, and he's personally experienced stuff. Talks about Jesus, our high priest, and how I use this verse often, but he is taught, he knows what the feelings of our infirmities. The word infirmities, sometimes, we see that when we talk about Jesus died for our sins, and yes, but it also talks about he died for our infirmities, and it means weaknesses. And it says he was touched with feelings of weaknesses, and in that he made himself weak. Jesus on the cross, he could have came down, he could have called 10,000 angels or leagues of angels or however he makes that phrase. But he chose, right, to have these weaknesses, and he felt what it was like to not have control over yourself. He was arrested and chose not to fight back. All and in all points tempted, like as we are, yet, right, as he was troubled, yet without sin. And so we need to also not resort to sin when troublesome times happen. The fourth thing I want us to realize is that the Lord will be with you in all our difficult times. And Jesus speaking to his church, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. What a great promise that Jesus made unto us. And number five, realize that God's primary purpose for our earthly life is that we glorify him in all things, in everything we do. And by doing this, we testify of him and will grow spiritually. I really find it fascinating and interesting as it talks about all this troublesome times, and it talks about markers. These things will happen before the end. And he said it's not, the end isn't yet, but it's near. It's getting closer. And these are all worldly things, like famines and wars, and these are all bad things, right? But he also says there's going to be a marker, something that's going to happen before Jesus comes that's a good thing, and that is the gospel must first be preached and published among all nations. Everyone is going to get to hear the word of God. Now, I don't know how that works, I remember the discussion in teen class as I was growing up, when we read verses like this, that everyone was going to have the opportunity to be saved. And I believe that with all my heart. Now, I don't know, are there places where people haven't heard the gospel? I don't know, but I know in the book of Acts, we have a man named Cornelius, and he wanted to know more about God. And God sent Peter, who was a Jew, who wouldn't talk to a Gentile. And so before he had Peter go, God did this great big elaborate thing for him to see this sheet come down, right? So that, and God said, I want you to get up and I want you to eat these unclean animals. Jews won't eat pork, and there's other items that they won't eat. And in this vision, God says, go eat this. And Peter says, no, you told me not to. I can't do that. Now, did God want Peter to eat pork? Now, pork's pretty good. So maybe, no, that, God wanted Peter to go talk to a Gentile, and Peter saw Gentiles like he saw that pork, unclean, something he could not come in contact with. So when the sheet goes away and God says, rise up and eat, and Peter's like, oh, you want me, you know, now my diet is changing. It wasn't about his diet. It was about who he was to tell and preach to. And this man named Cornelius had a desire to know more about God. But how are you going to know more about God? You can't figure it out yourself. And so there was a knock at the door, and this man says, my master, this head of the household, wants to hear about Jesus, and I have to come and get you. And so Peter went. We also know Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, right? The Holy Spirit tells Philip, go down to the southern part of Israel, and there's some crossroads there. And after the Passover, this Ethiopian from Africa, right? This leader is going back home after he had been to a Jewish festival, and yet he's reading there in Isaiah 53, where it talks about Jesus is going to be wounded and he's going to die for our sins and all of this there in Isaiah 53, and yet he doesn't know what it's talking about. He doesn't equate it to Jesus. It's kind of interesting. When we went to Israel, I had opportunity to talk to some Jewish people, and one of them was our tour guide, and I asked him his perspective on Isaiah 53. I said, for me, it seems very obvious who that is. I said, I'm sure you've been asked this. He said, it just talks about some guy. We don't know who that is. How do you know it's Jesus? Well, I know it's Jesus because God tells me it's Jesus, right? And so when it talks about this spiritual marker, about the gospel being published, and that there's people who need to hear the word, what about people who may not have a sermon or something like that? Romans 1:20 and Psalms 19:1, it tells us that even the glory of God declares that there is a God. And if somebody wants to know more about God, I believe that God is going to get somebody there to tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't think anybody is going to die without having the opportunity to somehow be able to have a relationship with God if they want a relationship. And so the spiritual marker before Jesus can come back is that the gospel has to be preached. People have to hear the gospel. So realizing in our earthly life, we need to glorify God. And so part of publishing the gospel is how we live, how we witness to the world. Jesus says this, I used this a couple of weeks ago when Peter had denied Christ. And then Jesus comes to Peter and he says, if you love me, feed my sheep. And he does this three times. And then afterwards, Jesus makes this prophecy about Peter, how he was going to die. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, in how that Peter was going to die. Yes, he denied him one time, but he's going to end up dying because he will not deny Christ again. And when he had spoken this, he turned unto Peter and he says, follow me. The way we share Jesus is by living our life. We were at the pastors and wives retreat this weekend, and one of the pastor's wives, who didn't grow up in church, her and her husband was in the army, and her husband had been diagnosed with cancer, and she was at the hospital, and there was nowhere for her to stay. The hotel on the army base was full, and there was these three ladies who their husbands had been in a helicopter crash. And they weren't sure if they were going to live or not. And they said, you can come and sleep on our couch. They had an apartment. And that night, she went to bed, and the ladies sat around and did a Bible study and was praying. And as their husbands, they didn't know if they would survive, and she ends up saying that they did survive. But she shared that they didn't know if their husbands would make it, and she didn't know what the diagnosis would end up being with her husband. And she was terrified, and she was so worried, and didn't know about the future and all this stuff. And she said they weren't worried, and they had joy. And she said, I wanted that, right? That should be, as Jesus says to Peter, you know, when you're converted, you are going to strengthen the brethren and feed my sheep, feed my lambs. If you love Jesus, we are to act like it, because it is through us that people see how God works. And we don't have to be worried about everything, because God is in control. The sixth thing is, we need to realize that our Lord tells us to continue to pray even through difficult and troublesome times. And Jesus spake this parable unto them to this end, or this was the purpose of this parable. And we can go back and we can look at the parable, but this is the purpose. Men ought to always pray and not to faint. One of the ways we can be prepared and not be troubled is by offering up our difficulties to the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, he does care for us. And then the seventh thing I want us to consider in dealing with troublesome times is, need to realize that we have resources. Our church, our family, Christian friends, it's kind of interesting that at one of the judgments of nations, Jesus said, going to say to a group, some nations, that you took care of me. And he says, for when I was hungered, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me, and you visited me. As in prison, you came into me. And they said, when did we do this, Lord? And they said, when you do it unto one of mine, right, you've done it unto me. That's where we need to be generous to people and help in time of need, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul talks about now concerning the collection of the saints, taking up money to help people, and they were taking up money for the church of Jerusalem, who have been under great persecution. And the churches at Corinth, the churches of Galatia, lots of churches were sending aid. We have churches that are suffering in the hurricanes, and we just voted to send some money to a church in Georgia. And the pastor, I called the pastor, and I said, I hear you may need some help. And he says, you know, maybe, but we know there's other people who are suffering too. And I said, well, tell me what happened. And this was the Hurricane Helene that they were in. And then we had the other one. What was the second one? Milton, yes. And that, you know, is even a different area. But anyway, he was telling me, he said, we had a elderly gentleman who lives in a mobile home, and he was very worried about that. And so they said, you know, come and stay in the church. It will be safer than your mobile home. And so this gentleman comes to the church, and while he is there, he's in the back half of the church where the fellowship hall is. So their church would have been laid out a little bit like ours. I'm sure it's probably a little larger, but the sanctuary at the front and the fellowship in the back. And because he was coming just by himself, he parked right in front of the church. Well, the front half of the church, the front building literally fell forward and fell on his car. And the front half of the church collapsed. Now, fortunately, he was fine. The interesting thing in all that, his mobile home, it didn't suffer any damage, but he was fine. And so this church needs some help for not only themselves, but this elderly gentleman who is on very restricted funds for replacing his vehicle. And then they had another elderly member who also suffered loss. Her whole house is, he said, it's basically gone. There's no house left for her. And so we sent some money to help and you know, no. And he's like, you just don't know how refreshing this phone call is. He said, we just didn't know what to do. And I shared with the pastors and their wives at the retreat, and I know others are going to help. God gives us resources, right? And one of them is our church family. And the eighth thing that I want us to consider, we need to remember and have confidence that God will make something good out of all of life's stuff in the end. And we know that. We have this confidence that all things work together for the good. Now, that doesn't mean that all things are going to be good. That isn't what it says, right? It's going to work out in the end. We can have a lot of terrible things happen. And at the pastor's retreat, we were talking about some of the things that have happened in our life. Joyce and I moving here didn't have a lot of money, and one of the things that happened, I had a car that had a stick shift. The battery went out. Didn't have money to replace that battery. So from Sacramento on, we had to make sure we parked where I could kind of be on a hill so I could either give it a little push, right, whatever. And we made it, right? The other car that Joyce was driving, it overheated, and we were in Ashland, 11 o'clock at night, and our car was overheating, and I had to stop, and she stopped, so I had to stop behind her, and we're going up a hill, right? I had to stop, so how do I start the car, right? But that's not the worry at the moment. So I get out to see how she's doing, and she's pregnant with Joshua, and she says, "Are you sure the Lord wants us here?" In that moment, she wasn't sure. I was still sure. Now, I can tell you 40-some years later, I'm very confident, right? All of this bad stuff that happened worked out in the end, right? We got here, and the deacon at St. Helens Church found out we didn't have a battery. He brought us one, and just everything worked out together for the good. Sometimes it just feels like it will never work out. But we have to remember that God has a plan. And I like this verse. And the more I read it, the more I like it. And it says, for God knows, this is God speaking, I know the thoughts. I know what I think about you and my plans for you that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. God doesn't want our lives to be difficult, but we're in a difficult world. And he says, Jesus said, there's going to be trouble. And my thoughts are for peace, not for evil. But I'm going to give you an expected end. I have plans for you. And we go back to Romans 8:28. It's going to work out. All things are going to work together for the good. God has a plan of those that love. In closing, last verse I want to talk about. Pianos, go ahead and come forward. So Mark 13, a little farther than our text verse there, says, but of that day and that hour, so here's the thing, Jesus is coming back. And in these troublesome times, there are signs that he is coming back, and we need to be ready. We don't know when. The angels don't know, neither the Son, and that's kind of, how does Jesus not know? Well, I assume he chooses not to, but the Father knows and has a plan. As he sent him the first time, he will send him the second time. Take heed, watch, pray, for you know not when the time comes, the time is. Verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto you all, Watch, be ready. Yes, difficult times. God is in control and God has a plan. Are you ready? Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you being obedient to Jesus Christ? We're going to stand and we're going to sing the song, Jesus is Coming Soon.